Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Aaron Johnson joins us. He's an attorney and a great opinion writer. He's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years.
Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail, we help it grow, and we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmaker Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, for political junkies, they know who Aaron Johnson is. For those that don't, he's an attorney, has been an opinion writer for many years now. Give us a little bit of your history from the military.
Well, I grew up in Rapid City, South Dakota. Went through undergrad at the University of Minnesota on a Navy ROTC scholarship. And then I was a surface warfare officer in the Navy. So I deployed three times, led boarding teams in the Persian Gulf, right before 9/11, essentially trying to enforce oil for food stuff as that kind of regime was collapsing. And then my last job, I ran a reserve center as we're kind of ramping up and deploying a lot of people between 02 and 04. So it's actually wind up being a really busy time, but really rewarding time as well.
Were you surprised by what happened with the withdrawal from Afghanistan? And not so much the withdrawal, but how many people, when they'd said for so long, this 25, 3,500 military there, when in fact we evacuated well over 100,000 people and there's well over 100,000 people left. Did that any of that surprise you?
I mean, it didn't surprise me that the current administration lacks competence with respect to the military. Whenever any government entity gets big, and all the military has been big, and they've been this way for years, so this is, it always cascades. But they start focusing on all kinds of other things other than their core mission. Whatever social justice agenda or whatever this or COVID or this, and then you see the deterioration of the core functions. We've seen that for years in the Navy, and this is true even under the Trump administration. A lot of ship collisions and just readiness issues all up and down the line. Ships have been overtaxed. In fact, it goes back even before Trump. But it's especially bad now. And clearly the military foreign policy just is not the Biden administration's priority. They don't know it. None of them have served. And so, no, I I was surprised how terribly catastrophic it was, but I wasn't surprised that it was kind of a debacle.
In a way, it almost struck me that it wouldn't have mattered who pulled out. With that many people involved, it was going to be a mess no matter what.
Well, I disagree with that. I think there was a framework in place and methods to withdraw. What I think happened is that somebody, whether it was President Biden or one of his advisors, snapped his fingers and said, "We're just doing it right now. We're doing it right now. I don't care how we do it. We're just going." And so with the excuse that, well, we don't want to give the Taliban knowledge that we're leaving. But it was so chaotically done. Obviously, that the word's going to get out. You can't hide that. And so instead of an orderly withdrawal that showed, hey, we can come in, we can impose our will, we can leave at will, which probably should have done earlier than we did, then now it just looks like we're running away with our tail between our legs. So the way you do things is often just as important as whether or not you do them. And the way this was done was just shameful.
The Pentagon Papers came out many years ago and talked about how no president, it wasn't just one president, but multiple presidents, didn't want to admit that the war in Vietnam was lost from almost the beginning. And it seems as though we just didn't learn from what happened with the Russians that, you know, we weren't ever going to win in Afghanistan.
Well, the problem is that nobody ever defined victory. So I actually disagree. In a lot of ways, you know, the narrative that we lost Vietnam and that's where it is. What happened in Vietnam was a holding action against communism. It was a front on a global battle. And people forget that, or they poo-poo it, or they forget how evil communism truly was and how deadly it was that the Soviet Union was on par with Nazi Germany, morally, intellectually, death toll wise, everything else. I mean, there's really no meaningful difference between the two. And so stopping that spreading was meaningful. As soon as we left Southeast Asia, then all of a sudden communism came in, both Cambodia and Vietnam. 4 million people were killed. 4 million people were starved or they were killed outright. And so that wouldn't have happened had we still been there, had we not done the kind of unorderly withdrawal that was really more a result of domestic politics than anything else. The problem with Afghanistan is that we're there kind of holding, there wasn't, what are we doing? And so the problem with war is if you're going to do it, you have to commit. You have to take land. You have to claim land. You have to say, this is ours, and we're going to do it, and we're going to make it in our image. That's how you win a war. You don't come in, try to be a police force for a while, and then leave, because eventually the people who live there, obviously, no matter how long you're going to be there, are going to wait you out. And that's exactly what happened there, because nobody could define victory.
Okay, but isn't the reality that the end of war comes with a political settlement?
Well, I mean, everything is politics. War is politics. I mean, you can't disengage war from politics, and we wouldn't want to, and that's why we have civilian control of the military. It's important that the people of a country have some say in what its military is doing. And so there's always a political portion, both kind of large P, small P, electoral, and also just the machinations of politics that always go on in any society that are intertwined with war. And so yes, obviously the politics of the day factor in, but there's also something that's been missing, and this is true not just with the military, but with everything from COVID responses to everything else, which is just a loss of competence, and an increase in bureaucracy and a loss of competence, and those two things are obviously interrelated. Again, with people forgetting their core functions, forgetting to, you know, figure out how to actually define victory, define success in any endeavor that they do. And that's where we all get mired down in our own bureaucracy, and that's deadly, whether we're talking about domestic policy or foreign policy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Arne Johnson. We'll change issues to what's going on in this country after this timeout.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
It comes from Washington, darkness spreading across America. Radical socialists are destroying our country and communities, but John Lee switched parties to stop them, fighting for conservative values like Reagan and Trump. As a principled conservative, John Lee's proudly pro-life. As NRA Legislator of the Year, John Lee fearlessly defends our gun rights. And as governor, John Lee will stop the left and keep Nevada's future bright.
Let's ride.
John Lee for governor.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with Aaron Johnson. He's an attorney and an opinion writer. And I wanted to bring up redistricting. You know, those that have the power are able to wield it, and that's what occurred in redistricting.
Yeah, it's, you know, I really think that we should change our laws and to reflect that the goal should not be, everybody tries to make sure there's fair representation, that's fine, but then there's all these groups and like communities and all these things. But I think what happens is that the overall purpose of elections gets lost. The purpose of an election is that the people can hold their government accountable. And any election where essentially a seat is safe means that you have a less accountable government, and that's a bad thing. And so what I would like to see is a change from both Supreme Court case law, but also it'd be better as statutory, and just say that the purpose that we should try to maximize the number of competitive districts. Because the more competitive districts there are, the more politicians who are afraid of losing their job if they let the people down, that's how you get a more responsive government. That's how you get better government, and that's how you get better policy. And so this idea that to the winner goes the spoils, we all just accept that. We shouldn't accept that. If Democrats care about responsive government and about doing right by the people, they should not be afraid of being in a competitive district if they think their policies are going to bear fruit. Same thing with Republicans, who would do the same thing if they were in a position to do it. And so this idea that everybody's, it's a signal of weakness, it's a sign of cowardice even, that the Democratic Party is working so hard to try to make it hard for anybody to oust them out of office. And I think that's a shame.
Okay, but the exact opposite is true. If it was 180 degrees, if the Republicans were in charge, they would do their best to do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm not carrying water for the Republicans with that.
All right. So let me throw this out there. So years ago, we had libertarians, right? We still do, but not very influential.
Right.
Because what happened was libertarians figured out that they couldn't win elections as libertarians. So they became Republicans, and they became, to an extent, the far right of the party. They were different from the moderates. Would you agree with that?
I think that trying to put them on a two-dimensional spectrum is impossible. And I think the libertarians have a wide range of opinion.
Sure, they do. But they couldn't get elected as libertarians.
Right. The system is set up. So in European countries, in a parliamentary system, lots of parties get elected. But then after they're all elected, then they have to form a governing majority. In the United States, in a two-party system, which I think is actually a feature and not a bug, the governing majority has to form before, so we all can see what we're voting for. We know what the governing majority would look like when we ultimately vote for a president or for, you know, any of our legislators or that sort of thing. And so I think to some extent that's not a bad thing, even though we lament, you know, we'd like to see more diversity within the parties, although I think we actually have that quite a bit.
All right, so we'll come back to my premise here. So my premise is this, that with redistricting, you know, we have a lot of, you know, not necessarily safe districts for Democrats, but much more safe than they were before. If Republicans want to win, do some of them have to become conservative Democrats? Because if you go back 40 years in this state, Harry Reid and Richard Bryan were not thought of as liberals. They were thought of as conservative Democrats, what would now be called probably blue dog Democrats. Is that something that some of the Republicans need to start thinking about, is getting into the other camp to have influence? Because you look on the other side and look at a Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema and go, well, here are two people that are controlling the entire Congress at this point by being not opposite of what their party stands for, but certainly standing in the way of the left's ideas of where they want to go.
So one of the things that I try to do is I try to avoid the word left and right when I'm describing any political ideology or anything else, because I think it's not helpful, and it gets us to this, oh, how do we travel along this two-dimensional thing? What makes those two individuals in the Senate so powerful is that they think independently, and they think with some common sense, and I say good for them. If Republicans want to win, and I think at this moment in the country, everybody's tired of this tribalism that's engulfed us. And I think most people feel alienated from the tribalism. I know I do. I'm a registered Republican, but the only reason is because I want to have some say in the primary processes. And so what I think Republicans need to do is come out and say, it's not about left or right, it's about up or down, the great kind of Reagan concept of it, that it's about freedom, it's about independence, it's about keeping your business safe from the red tape. It's about, you know, when the government controls all of government and essentially the means of production, as it essentially seized during COVID, now we got empty shelves and businesses have no idea what's going on or what executive order is gonna change the way they do business. That's a terrible way to grow an economy. And so the more Republicans go in and say, look, we're about you guys. We're about you guys. We're about all the non-tribal people that just want to live their lives and do better. That's how they're going to win elections.
Okay, but how does that work with the echo chamber of people, as you say, have become tribalistic and they're listening to one side or the other rather than listening to both sides? You don't have very many avenues. I mean, this show might be an exception of where you have people from all across the spectrums, and the viewers and listeners can decide. I'm not here to call anybody a jerk or say they're right or wrong. I'm here to say, hey, tell me what you think and let the other people decide.
Well, and I think that's a start. So the echo chambers are small, but people forget that they're small. So I hate Twitter, I hate social media, I hate all those things because it makes people think that they're alone if they're not part of a tribe. They're not, they're absolutely not. In fact, most Nevadans no longer are part of the tribe, or at least a third of them are no longer part of one tribe or the other. And I think a lot who still are don't really feel a direct affinity for it. In fact, I'll say this, even though we think of Trump as kind of the ultimate partisan, in a lot of ways he's the ultimate nonpartisan. And I've got issues with Trump, but the bottom line is that he came in, he wasn't just running against the Democrats, he was also running against kind of the old school Republican establishment, shattered it, was disruptive in a way that I think ultimately will be beneficial, will be a model for a lot of other people without a lot of kind of Trump's baggage to come in and do the same thing. I think we saw that in Virginia, some of his midterms. I think we're seeing that with Joe Manchin. A lot of people, and we're seeing the tip of the iceberg, but I think we're going to see a lot more. I hope we're going to see a lot more, are realizing they can free themselves, and there's a huge hunger out there and a real constituency for people that say, I refuse to be part of a tribe. I'm a human being, and we're all human beings. We're going to do it together.
Okay, well, that's a very in-depth thought for people who are trying to put food on the table, go to work, raise kids, do all the other things, you know, that they are able to think that deeply, because really, they respond to 30-second commercials. But didn't Donald Trump appeal to people that were not necessarily Republicans or Democrats, but people who felt that they had been lied to by politicians for decades? And that was the discontent that he was able to tap into. And so you had people who were Democrats as well as Republicans voting for him.
I agree with you completely. And again, this is the disruption, and I'd like to see more of it. Where people come in and say, one of his, you know, in I think one of the Republican debates, he said, sure, I'm conservative, but who cares? Let's just get stuff done. That's what speaks to the kitchen table issues that you're talking about. It's not this in-depth philosophical thing. It's, why am I paying $5 for gas? This is crazy. What, inflation is killing me. All of a sudden, I don't know what the governor is going to do next to my business. I just want to be left alone and live my life and raise my kids and let them go to school. And that's what Trump tapped into, and that's what politicians of any party can tap into, be successful, and when they tap into it, not only will they be politically successful, they'll be successful policy-wise, and the United States of America, Nevada, will be successful.
All right, let's take another break. More with Aaron Johnson when we come back.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube. Powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Aaron Johnson. He's an opinion writer, also an attorney. Wrote for a long time for the Nevada Independent and has been writing some great stuff for the last few years, which is why I wanted you to be here. Okay, so the inflation that we're seeing. It's easy to blame political entities, but the reality is that, you know, we went into a situation where everything was cut off, but people were getting money. So they were, in some cases, getting more money than they needed. A lot of people who were middle class got checks from the government that they really didn't need, and they banked them or just put them into their regular account. And after a certain point in time, they want to start spending that money, whether it be on goods and services, vacations, whatever it might be, cars. And so all of a sudden, you know, things become, there's a shortage of them, and so the prices go up because that's how business works. Do you blame inflation on the government, whether it be this government or the previous government, both of which put trillions of dollars into the economy? And do you see it like the toilet paper crisis flattening out over the next year or so?
So the answer to your first question is yes. Of course I blame it on everything you described. And one of the things that frustrates me is people say, oh, the pandemic caused this. The pandemic caused nothing. Choices that government entities made are what caused all these issues. And you can say it was worth it or it was not worth it, but you cannot say this. They weren't conscious decisions on behalf of politicians. And so whenever we hear the pandemic caused, everybody should say no. That's a false statement. It's not true. It's a way to hide responsibility behind this passive voice, and I hate it. But will it settle out? The answer is no, at least not in the foreseeable, and this is why. So right now we have a government that thinks that it can control the economy, that it can guide the economy. And this was from the very beginning with COVID. And I was writing about this at the time, April, May of 2020. I said, you cannot take supply chains and just pull out bricks in the economic wall willy-nilly. And that's exactly what, and in Nevada, is worse than a lot of other places, where the governor declared himself to have unlimited just fiat power. He could wave a magic wand, do whatever. I'm closing down that business, opening up that one. I decide what's essential and what's not. You can't do that. No human being, no matter how smart, and Sisolak is not the smartest of human beings, I'm sorry, he's just not, but no human being, no matter how brilliant, is smart enough to control a whole economy. And that's why centrally managed economies always lead to shortages, to inflation, to starvation ultimately, and civil unrest, which is exactly what we're seeing. I use the phrase, and it's loaded, but the government sees the means of production. When the governor can say, I can shut down your business at will, I can force your employees to, I can require you to make your employees do, you know, take a shot or undergo any other medical procedure or do anything else, there's no limiting power on the government. And that means that for all effective purposes, the government has seized the means of production and is now trying to control the economy. When that happens, we're going to see very predictable results. We're going to see inflation. We're going to see it continue. We're going to see empty shelves. We're going to see continued supply chain issues. We're going to see all those things. The government needs to back off. And there's obviously no government backing off anytime in the near future.
Well, I have a more optimistic view than you do about this because I think that things will start to calm down. We're seeing less ships off the coast of Los Angeles at this point. And things across the supply chain are easing up. But I think one of the things we need to do is figure out how to fix our immigration system, which is still sitting there languishing since 1986, because we need more workers. And the idea that we're not doing anything to create a situation where more people can come to the country and work, citizenship aside, but we need workers, and I think that that's going to be a major thing for industries like the trucking industry that desperately need, 80,000 new drivers. We're out of time. I can see you wanting to answer, and what's great about that is it means I can invite you back, and let's continue this discussion.
Happy to come back anytime. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you. Orrin Johnston, we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.